This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Diddy's Kanye double cross as Kim Kardashian is dragged into Sean Combs' vortex. This is Combs claims the Cassie Ventura beatdown video was doctored, and a bombshell in the Jay-Z sex attack case. One lawyer quits and another high-profile lawyer seemingly forced out with his tail between his legs. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
Despite a mounting pile of evidence and seemingly endless stream of lawsuits, P. Diddy pleads not guilty in federal sex trafficking case.
Did Kanye double-cross Diddy? With friends like that, who needs enemies? Listen.
West's show of support last month turned into an anti-Semitic tirade. But once again, Combs is caught leaning on West for support in a jail call. Combs reportedly wasn't aware West was recording. Combs' sudden display of friendship with the controversial rapper seems to highlight how isolated Combs has become as the allegations against him pile up. Several other celebrity pals have made it clear they want nothing to do with Combs, especially Jay-Z, who fought bitterly to have his name cleared from a lawsuit alleging the rape of a 13-year-old girl.
Joining me in All-Star Panel, but first to Crime Stories investigative reporter Sydney Sumner. Let me understand what happened. So Kanye, after his anti-Semitic tirade, I can hardly even speak his name. I feel like I'm eating a dirt sandwich. Kanye called Combs behind bars, and Combs thinks he's getting all this support and they're having this conversation. And then let me understand what happened, Sydney. Then Kanye turns around, he secretly records the phone call and uses it in a track?
That's correct, Nancy. That's exactly what happened. And it's not clear if Combs is specifically upset about the samples being used in a song. Their conversation seems to involve music and Combs wanting Kanye to get back to publishing music and that being his focus. But Combs now feels slightly betrayed. He's been pulled into this drama with Kanye West's ex-wife, Kim Kardashian, and that's the crux
of the issue. Sydney. You had me at Combs feels betrayed. Because he's in a conversation willingly with Kanye, and Kanye, secretly or not secretly, records him and uses it to make money on a track. Okay, listen.
Kanye's latest song, Lonely Roads Still Go to Sunshine, features the jailhouse phone call, a verse from Combs' son Christian King Combs and West's daughter North. West faces backlash from ex-wife Kim Kardashian over North's inclusion. Combs now feels like he's collateral damage. Combs thought the call came from a place of genuine concern for him and his family and is now embarrassed to be pulled into the crossfire.
Okay, there's a whole lot brewing with Kim K, Kim Kardashian, and the last thing Diddy needs is Kim Kardashian and her mother, Kris Jenner, 3 inches up his tailpipe. Joining me right now, Rob Shooter. Rob Shooter, host of Naughty But Nice podcast, former publicist for Sean Combs, author of The Four-Word Answer. Rob Shooter, I want you to hear what's on this track and what's on this secretly recorded phone call. Listen. Okay, you know what? Shooter, hold your horses, because I definitely need a shrink right now more than I need Combs's, Diddy's publicist. Hold it. Joining me, high-profile psychoanalyst, joining us from L.A., author of Deal Breaker. You can see her now on Peacock, Dr. Bethany Marshall. Guys, that was exclusively from The Shade Room. Bethany, we just played Sean Combs speaking, apparently illicitly recorded, to Kanye, and he's saying, this is effing sad. I'm Puff Daddy in jail. This is effing sad as a mother effer. The devil is a liar. Okay, what? Puff Daddy in jail. What? Is he that shocked? If the allegations are true, he has been raping women for years and years and years and years and getting away with it because they were afraid to come forward. And now it's sad that he's in jail. Help me out here.
Nancy, he's shocked because he's gotten away with it for so long and because he thinks that what he's doing is perfectly reasonable. He thinks it's reasonable to sex traffic minors and sex workers and women. He thinks it's reasonable to bring men in to have sex with women so he can watch. He thinks it's reasonable to have a huge room lined with mirrors so he can view sex from every angle. And all these comments are so self-referential. They're all about him. There's nothing about the victims. There's nothing really about his children. And I would say he's doing what criminals do. It's something called shared paranoia, where he tries to align with Kanye against the world, against the legal experts, against the law, thinking that both of them are just buddies in this together and everybody is out to get them.
Hey guys, I want to hear that one more time. This is effing sad. I'm Puff Daddy in jail. What? Okay, let's hear that again. Okay, well, it doesn't end there. And we're getting that from The Shade Room. You can find it online. And there's more. Let's listen.
I'm going to beat this shit and get next to you. Yeah. We're going to raise our families and become the kings that we're supposed to be. You feel me?
Yeah, absolutely.
The kings we're supposed to be. All right, this is Combs, Diddy, speaking from his jail cell, talking about the king he is supposed to be. Again, that is exclusively from The Shade Room. Thank you, The Shade Room. I'm going to beat this shit and get next to you. We're going to raise our families and become the kings that we're supposed to be. Okay, out to Rob Shooter joining me, former publicist for Sean Combs. Shooter, can you shed any light on this? The kings were supposed to be. He certainly lived like a king ever since you told me he called for cheesecake at 3 a.m. and somebody trotted out to get it in downtown Manhattan. What do you make of it, Shooter?
I'm not at all surprised. This is who Puffy is. He believes that the rules do not apply
to him.
Is it
Puffy now?
There's many different names. I always called him Puff, Puffy, but lots of different names there, Nancy, including some names.
Okay, I call those an alias, but you go right ahead.
Well, you're right, and I've got a few names that I shouldn't say on TV too about him, but Puff, Diddy, whatever you want to call him, this is who he is. He really believes he's very special. It doesn't surprise me at all that he's completely perplexed that he is in jail. He thinks he's above the law. He's not. And now he can't get his head around it. It is a shocking audio that you've got your hands on via The Shade Room, but that is him. That is who he thinks he is. This is from the horse's mouth. He cannot believe this has happened to him.
Yeah, and another thing, Rob Shooter, which I'll circle back to when we get into the whole North drama of Kim K's daughter being included on some tracks and even recording when the Tate brothers, you know, those two guys charged with all those misogynist attacks, were going to be hanging around. No way in H-E-double-L would I have my children around the Tate brothers. Are you kidding me? Kim K had to go for an emergency mediation. Thanks, Combs. Straight out to Lynn Shaw. Lynn is the founder and executive director of Lynn's Warriors, which is dedicated to ending human trafficking and sex attacks on girls and women. She's a host of Lynn's Warriors on YouTube. Lynn, I think part of the reason that Sean Combs is saying all this about how effing sad this is that Puffy's in jail is because, as you know, during all of the freak-offs and more, women, as Dr. Bethany Marshall was describing, were nothing. They were nothing to him. They were drugged. They had no idea what was going on, many of them. They were lubed up with their whole bodies covered in baby oil. And in their semi-conscious state, they were posed in very, let me say, revealing positions. And video, just hold that thought for a moment. You go to a party and you think, oh my stars, there's going to be all these celebrities there. What if I meet this one? What if I meet that one? And you wake up with your anus, your rear end, and your vagina hurting. Your body has been covered in baby oil. Your head's hurting. You feel nauseous. And then you realize that you have been posed in different X-rated positions. So Sean Combs could get a better angle with a group of guys standing around with professional lights and video cameras as you were raped. Okay, these women were like a paper cup to him. They meant nothing. But because of them coming forward, he is behind bars and he can't stand it.
And I need a shower after hearing all of that. The saddest thing, victims, alleged victims, all victims of sexual exploitation and trafficking, they are keeping their eye on this story. Just the other day, I ran into somebody who used to work in the rap world, a woman now who said, I really wish they could get to the bottom of this if they only knew what really went on. We are missing the point here in all of this discussion. The focus has shifted. This is the Dirty Diddy playbook. Put it all on him. We can all forget about the victims, survivors of these attacks. And this is exactly why victims never want to come forward, because they never are either believed, they're ashamed, or the focus is always on the alleged perpetrator. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. So let's see where this goes. But you know what? The feeling on the streets here in New York City is this will not go anywhere. He's got power and money, and he will not be held accountable.
And I'm telling you right now, cases are already being dismissed. So I'm wondering if that's the beginning of a domino effect.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Straight out to Dr. Dwayne Hendricks joining us, former associate warden at MDC in Brooklyn, former senior warden with the U.S. Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Prisons, and founder president of A New Daylight Foundation. And he's the author of Who Are You? Say It, See It, Say It, and Seize It. Dr. Hendricks, could you explain something to me? How is it that Sean Combs is having these long conversations with Kanye, of all people, that nut that just did all those anti-Semitic rants and is selling t-shirts with swastikas on them? Why is it that he can have this long conversation with him and then Kanye tape it? I mean, is this from a public phone? How does that work? Or does he have a surreptitious cell phone?
No, the phone calls, each phone call is 15 minutes at length at a time. So any call would only be that length. In terms of the recording, all phone calls are recorded by the U.S. government, and inmates and the persons that take those calls from inmates from the jails know that. One thing I did not hear in the clip that you played, I didn't hear
the
this
recording,
call.
The recording, did you?
Yes.
Exactly. Guys,
so
you tell them what you're talking about, because I was listening, Dr. Hendricks, and I never heard. This call is originating from a federal correctional institute, which tells me it is a surreptitious cell phone.
It could be. Now, here's the question.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, look who's backtracking. You. I'm seeing nothing but tail hole and elbows. You're running.
No, I'm not running. Listen to me. So the question is, New York is a one-party consent state in terms of recording a call.
Don't care.
Now, if the call did come from a federal prison, there is no law against the person receiving the call recording
it.
However, if this was...
I know what you're doing.
If this was from a cell phone...
You're telling me all about one-party consent, which doesn't matter because it's from a jail. I'm asking you, is this a surreptitious cell phone that they're letting Combs have behind bars? I never heard the jail recording. This call originates from a federal correctional institute.
Now we need to go to the shade room and ask the full conversation, because ultimately we will only know that if we have the full clip. So that will be the only way we'll know.
Dr. Hendricks, don't be dragging the shade room into it. They just got a hold of the tape after Kanye leaked it. The issue is in the jail. Sean Combs getting special privileges because this clearly is not on a jail. It's not on a jail phone. It has to be from a cell phone.
No, he's not calling from a cell phone. He'd be the last person
then
to have
where
a cell.
Is the recording? I've never had one jail call, and I've talked to inmates for hours and hours and hours. Not wasted time, because usually they would give me information on other cases. But that said, you can't go, what, a minute without hearing that recording saying, this call originates from a federal correctional institute. I didn't hear that.
Again, those were short clips that we saw. So the only way we would be able to verify that if we were able to hear the clip for more than 45 seconds to a minute or a minute and 15 seconds. But I highly doubt that gentleman had a cell phone in that prison. I guarantee he does not.
Let's listen to more of the call between Kanye and Sean Combs.
Yeah. 59 more days before trial, so I'll definitely be touching and tapping into your energy or something. Yeah. Play me some shit over the phone. Give me some fucking life.
Straight out to Joshua Ritter joining us, high-profile criminal defense attorney, former prosecutor, and host of Courtroom Confidential on YouTube. We're hearing exclusive sound from the Shade Room. Question to you. I believe that there has been a collaboration between Kanye and Sean Combs, and we talked about it weeks ago. I think you were with us, where they're doing some sort of a monetary enterprise to make money, and lo and behold, surprise, now Sean Combs is featured on Kanye's track. This jail call is on the track. And you know they're going to make money off of it, Ritter.
Maybe. Well, somebody's going to be making money off of it. I don't know if Sean Combs is going to be making any money off of it. But it sounds like Kanye's certainly taking advantage of this relationship, or whatever you want to call it, this sad sort of friendship. The only person in the world who probably is actually taking Sean Combs' phone calls is Kanye, and you know, good luck to Sean Combs on that. It seems like it's just being used to exploit him. But can I get back to the point about whether or not this is a cell phone that was surreptitiously snuck into that prison? I mean, this happens all the time. I hear what's being said, that they're searching him, they're keeping an eye on him. I don't think the guards are providing him with a phone, but that's. Cell phones, contraband cell phones are currency inside of these lockup facilities. So the idea that a person with his types of connections and his types of wealth and power and influence outside of those walls would be able to somehow finagle his way into getting a cell phone, I don't think is outside of the realm of possibility.
P. Diddy's former chief of staff breaks silence amidst a slew of allegations as the embattled music mogul awaits trial for sex trafficking charges in New York.
And while he's waiting behind bars, counting down to the day of trial, he's on the phone with none other than Kanye, who reportedly secretly records the call to use to his own benefit. Let's take a listen to the track. He actually used the jail recording, the conversation in his track. That from Yeezy. I'm a little confused. Sydney Sumner, let me understand something. Sydney Sumner joining us, Crime Stories investigative reporter. That is Combs behind bars claiming that no one's taking care of his children while he's behind bars?
Yes, Nancy, that's correct.
Okay, let me understand something to high-profile defense attorney Joshua Ritter. Isn't that what happens when you go to jail on a federal indictment, a multi-count indictment of sex trafficking, raping and abusing, drugging women? Your children don't go to jail with you, right? Isn't that something you should think about before you rape somebody?
I mean, I don't know how else to answer that question.
What are you laughing about? You think the victims think this is funny? And now he's whining, nobody's with my children? Yeah, think about that before you drug somebody and slather them up with baby oil. What about that, Ritter?
I think, listen, you're absolutely right. Let's give him some credit here, right? I mean, he is still caring about his family. He's caught in a position where the only person in the world who he can talk to about this looks like it's Kanye. And Kanye is even taking that phone call and exploiting it and trying to profit off of it. So, I mean, listen, the man's behind bars. probably taking whatever phone calls he can actually make and trying to do the best that he can to protect
Ritter,
and provide for his children. I don't want much more I can say.
I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. Okay. You're saying feel sorry for Sean Combs. Okay, you know, Lynn Shaw, isn't that something that an alleged rapist should think about beforehand? I mean, how many women can you attack and video, for Pete's sake, States Exhibit Number 1, and think you're never going to get caught, and now he's whining, he's not there to take care of his children? Think about that before you commit a crime.
And Josh Ritter, shame on you. No, no, no. You know, money talks and crime walks. The first thing when this case broke, I thought of his teenage twin daughters. That's what I thought of. I thought of, oh, he's got this family. What do his kids think of him, especially these two young girls? What is his sympathy? If I didn't know better, I would think that Yeezy Yuck and Dirty Diddy were in on something together and did this whole thing as a just one big distraction from what's really going on here, just to keep their names in the news. There is no sympathy for this alleged rapist, exploiter, whatever you want to call it. And I remind everybody.
Yeah, Ritter, chew on that for a minute. Dr. Bethany Marshall, let's jump off of what Lynn Shaw just said, because I find this highly manipulative. Okay.
It's so manipulative, Nancy.
I'm sure you have the right psycho lingo to describe it. But he's behind bars, according to the state. He's innocent until proven guilty. For week after week after week, for decades, as long as he got a little money and a little power, as soon as he got that, he could start abusing women and young girls, according to prosecutors. This has been going on for decades. Okay, they just amended and created a superseding indictment to date the sex attacks further back. And now that he's finally in jail awaiting trial, he's like, nobody's taking care of my children. Yeah, well, think about that, man, before you rape somebody. How do you think these victims feel when they hear him whining to Kanye, nobody's taking care of my children?
Well, first of all, don't these children have mothers? I mean, P. Diddy is not the only one in their lives. The victims have to hear him whining and think about him sort of worrying about his children, but there's no reference to the victims. And all this time and money he spent on these parties, Nancy, I would be curious, was he setting up college funds?
You know what? College funds. Don't get me started on college funds, but you're absolutely right. Following up on what Dr. Bethany Marshall and Lynn Shaw just said to Rob Shooter, he is the host of Naughty But Nice podcast, author, and former publicist to Sean Combs. Okay. Number one rule in cross-examination, don't ask the question you don't know the answer to, but I'm going to go out on a limb. How much interaction did Combs have with his children when you were with him?
Limited. It was limited interaction. Now, their mother was still alive at the time. She's no longer with us. And so they spent most of the time with their mom. Whenever I'd go to his house, his apartment in New York, or his house in the Hamptons, or his house in Miami, I never saw the children there. In fact, the only time I ever got to really see the children was on red carpets. When the press was there, Diddy liked showing off what a great dad he was. When the press wasn't there, not so much.
Kanye West drops a shocking diss track featuring P. Diddy's words amidst heated online battle with ex Kim K.
So apparently, Kim Kardashian's children are featured on Kanye's track. Let's listen first to North.
When you see me shining, then you see the light, everything that wrote, it ain't even right, even right, even right, even right. Okay, good night, okay, good night.
That from Yeezy, straight out to Sydney Sumner joining us. Sydney, what happened?
So Nancy, Kanye West brought North into the studio with him, and he decided to use her vocals on this song, which Kim Kardashian views as highly irresponsible and shows that Kanye has no regard for North's future or her reputation. I mean, putting an 11-year-old girl on the same song as Diddy, who is accused of all of these atrocities, So Kardashian was understandably upset, and she did her absolute best to keep this song from being published in any way, shape, or form. And now Kim Kardashian actually owns the trademark to Northwest's name, and they set that up to help protect her future, to give her a source of income for the future. And that name, those rights, will turn over to North herself when she's old enough to handle them. But for the moment, Kanye West has no legal right to use Northwest's name in any capacity. So she first tried to remind him of that, using that as a block. Hey, you cannot release this song with her using her name. He didn't want to cooperate with that.
You're absolutely right, Sydney. Listen.
Northwest's short verse on Lonely Roads Still Go to Sunshine is not the tween's first dabble in hip-hop, also collaborating with FKA Twigs on Childlike Things. But after Kim Kardashian's criticism of Kanye West's decision to put their daughter on a track with Diddy, West has nothing but disapproval for Kardashian's choices about letting North collaborate with other artists. West explodes at Playboy Cardi on X after Cardi asked Kardashian to have North send him a song. West then calls his ex-wife a sex trafficker, implying North's collaboration with Twigs was not age appropriate.
Okay. Let me understand. Clarify this for me, Sydney Sumner. So Kanye uses North. Okay. Uses North in a track. And it's my understanding that the Tate brothers were visiting or about to visit, you know, the Tate brothers that were basically kicked out of the country and are accused of all sorts of misogynistic attacks on women. Those Tate brothers were going to be around while North laid tracks.
Yeah, Nancy. So this happened about 2 days later after all of the song drama. So Kim is still trying to do her best to give Kanye access to his children, despite everything he's done, despite pulling the stunt with releasing Northwest on this song with Diddy. She's still allowing North to visit with her dad. And Kanye West invites the Tate brothers to their house. So his security guard let Kim Kardashian know what was going on, and she immediately came and picked North up, so that she was not exposed to those two men.
You know, Sydney, a lot of people may not know who the Tate brothers are. They have been in Romania behind bars. Explain who the Tate brothers are. Now, just imagine the Tate brothers, Andrew and Tristan Tate, somehow make their way back into the U.S., which I strongly oppose. They get back into the U.S. and somehow hook up with Kanye and Sean Combs behind bars. He's aware that Kanye is using North for tracks, right?
Well, Nancy, we can't be too sure what Combs knew about Kanye's plans to put Northwest on the track. But what we do know about the Tate brothers is they started out as influencers for men. So they would post videos and discuss finding your masculinity and what it is to be a man and how you should live your life.
And somehow Sean Combs behind bars has been dragged into this saga. Now, let me understand. After all of this, Kim K files for an emergency mediation and Kanye's a no-show, correct?
That's correct. He did not show up for that hearing.
Now, explain to me what this has to do with Sean Combs, how he's gotten roped into this, because we're talking about North, okay? North is Kanye and Kim K's daughter. So what does that have to do with Sean Combs? And how is that affecting his trial, Sydney?
Nancy, it really has nothing to do with Sean Combs until that phone call dropped, until this leak of that phone call was exposed to the public. Everybody thought that Sean Combs was not touching Kanye with a 10-foot pole. I mean, we saw how quickly his vote of confidence in Combs turned into an anti-Semitic tirade just last month. So after that, you would think that Combs would have learned his lesson and stayed away. But it just highlights how isolated Combs is. He doesn't have any friends in Hollywood. If he's having to turn to Kanye for friendship.
Legendary rapper Jay-Z denies the allegation he raped a 13-year-old girl at a VMA after party. Jane Doe amended her lawsuit filed in October that only named Sean Combs while redacting the names of two other celebrities at the party that night. The suit states, quote, defendant Sean Combs, along with his longtime friend and collaborator Sean Carter, a.k.a. Jay-Z, drugged and raped a 13-year-old girl at an after party following the 2000 Video Music Awards. Another celebrity stood by and watched as Combs and Carter took turns assaulting the minor.
That case has been dismissed. That case against Jay-Z has been dismissed. And not only that, the lawyer that basically started a 1-800 for Sean Combs has turned tail. Listen.
Houston lawyer Tony Busby has been forced to step down from several of his lawsuits against Sean Diddy Combs after his case involving Jay-Z was dismissed. Sean Carter has not wavered in his quest for retribution since the case was withdrawn, filing complaints that Busby is not authorized to practice in the Southern District of New York, where many of his clients have filed.
Okay, hold on just a moment. Sydney Sumner, so Tony Busby is backing out of several cases?
Yes, Nancy, not by his own choice. So Jay-Z, after this case was dismissed, Jay-Z still has a defamation suit against Tony Busby, an extortion suit against Tony Busby. But he went so far as to file formal complaints claiming that Busby is not allowed to serve as a lawyer in the Southern District of New York, which unfortunately is true. Busby is not certified to serve in that district. He is allowed to serve in the Eastern District of New York, but
okay,
he has
on.
Not
stop, applied for jurisdiction. Stop. Joshua Ritter, this is all technical legal term BS, because hasn't anybody heard pro hoc vice? He doesn't have to be certified there. He can have a lawyer who is certified there bring him on as co-counsel and get approval on an ad hoc basis. It happens all the time. So that's not why he's backing out of these cases.
No, you're right. It does happen all the time. It's also not that hard to get yourself admitted into the Southern District or New York so you can go ahead and file these cases yourself. And as you just pointed out, this is kind of elementary stuff. This is entry-level lawyering here. So the idea that he somehow missed this either speaks to he's in above his head on these cases. I mean, he filed a lot of cases, and to me, this is just not the first step towards handling them professionally. Or he just is unaware that he needed to have himself admitted, or like you point out, a pro hoc vice counsel appointed for him in those local districts. So I don't get it. And it's going to be problematic because now you've got all of these clients who are feeling they were represented by one person, and he's basically pulling the ripcord and saying, I'm out. You're going to have to find some other lawyer to help yourself out here in New York.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
So now Tony Busby, who made quite the splash at the get-go, is backing out of the case with his tail between his legs because he says he's not qualified. Well, he's qualified. He's not admitted to practice in that jurisdiction. Like, I'm not admitted to practice in Alaska. Okay. But he can be brought in on the case under pro hoc vice, which means on an ad hoc basis, you can be brought in even if you're not certified in that jurisdiction. So why is he really backing out? Don't know, but this is where he started.
The biggest secret in the entertainment industry that really wasn't a secret at all has finally been revealed to the world. The wall of silence has now been broken, and victims are coming forward. Our team has had, at this point, more than 3,285 individuals contact us with people claiming to have been victimized by Sean Combs.
That's from the official at Tony Busby on Instagram, but now he's backing out with his tail between his legs on multiple cases, but he's staying on others. All this while seemingly Sean Combs' defense team is grasping at straws, claiming that the Cassie Ventura beatdown video was doctored. Let's take a look at that video real quick. This is in a very exclusive resort hotel. Cassie Ventura leaving what she said was a freak off. And whoa, here he comes down the hall in a towel. Just never gets old, does it? And wham, there you go. Now, excuse me, as we are watching this, Cindy Sumner, who is Combs claiming doctored the video?
Nancy, so this video was released exclusively by CNN. And his team claims that the outlet altered the video, that they sped it up, that they made some jump cuts so that the assault looks much worse than it really was. Even if that is the case in the version that the public has seen, CNN has now come back and said, of course we have the original footage with no changes made to it, which is exactly what they turned over to prosecutors when they asked for it.
Dr. Bethany Marshall, psychoanalyst, he's claiming that CNN somehow doctored it to make it look worse than it really was. Really? Could it be worse than what we saw? I mean, CNN Nancy. Has the original. That's what will come in at trial. This is all BS.
It's like he's saying, well, I only kicked her once. I didn't kick her twice. Okay, I hit her in the eye, but I didn't give her a black eye. He's really minimizing the abuse. And Nancy, this is what abusers do. They minimize, they downplay, they act like they really didn't do the abuse. But this is clear, clear as the day.
Right. Blame it on CNN. They made it look worse than it, quote, really was. I don't think that happened. And if it weren't true, why would Sean Combs say this?
It's so difficult to reflect on the darkest times in your life. Sometimes you got to do that. I was f***ed up. I mean, I hit rock bottom. But I make no excuses. My behavior on that video is inexcusable. I take full responsibility for my actions in that video.
So if it's not real, why is he apologizing for it? I'm not hearing him screaming right there. That was doctored. That's not real. That is from Diddy's official Insta page.
Maxwell and Epstein worked together to entice these minor victims to travel to Epstein's residences. His residence in New York City on the Upper East Side, as well as Palm Beach, Florida, and Santa Fe, New Mexico. Some of the acts of abuse also took place in Maxwell's residence in London, England.
You are hearing U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, that's Audrey Strauss, speaking about Ghislaine Maxwell. Why? Ghislaine Maxwell was the hitch person for Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein. Basically, his pimp going out and finding young girls for him to abuse. She's sitting behind bars in a federal penitentiary right now. But what does that have to do with Sean Combs? Everything, because of Christina Corum. Is Christina Corum the next co-defendant, undisclosed co-conspirator, or star witness? Listen.
Sean Diddy Combs is chief of staff. Christina Corum has been accused of numerous atrocities, from forcing employees to carry drugs or recruit women for freak-offs to standing witness to a gang rape after trying to place an IUD in the victim. Corum, whom Combs has referred to as his soul sister and right hand, worked for the mogul for more than a decade after previous roles at Paramount Pictures and Burberry. The two were previously close, with Combs posting a long birthday message for Corum on Instagram.
Shout out to Joshua Ritter joining us, a high-profile criminal defense attorney, former prosecutor. You can find him on Courtroom Confidential on YouTube. Joshua, Corum denies all, but she's in it. She had to be a witness. The state is deducing at least a witness to what was going on. That's his right-hand person. So what will she be? An undisclosed, unnamed co-conspirator? Will she end up being a co-defendant under a conspiracy theory? aider and abettor theory, or will she be the state's star witness?
Well, if she's smart, she's going to be the state's star witness. I mean, you know how this works, Nancy. The government comes to you and they basically give you a choice. Which way do you want to go on this? Do you want to be the United States versus Sean Diddy Combs and yourself? Or do you want to be on the witness list, and do you want to be somebody who testifies against him? I don't think it's really a choice she has. I think she has to say, let me help you. How can I possibly help you? Please tell me where I can sign as a cooperator to testify against this man. And it sounds like if she was as close to him as even he is saying, there's a lot of helpful information to the government that she possibly has.
To Dr. Duane Hendricks joining us, former associate warden at MDC in Brooklyn, you and I were going round and round about whether Combs has a cell phone, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If he does have that illegal cell phone with him, you don't think he's calling Corum on the phone, trying to get her story straight, trying to talk her out of testifying? You don't think that's happening right now? And remember, he was already busted trying to intimidate victims and witnesses once before. Mm-hmm. And you're still sticking with your story. He doesn't have a cell phone.
I'm sticking with my story that he does not have a cell phone. And I'm going to tell you why. Because now that he's been outed with the Kanye conversation, if that phone call was not recorded on the federal call system, then they will absolutely know that he would have a cell phone. And
well,
at
you know
this
what?
Point, if
Duane Hendricks, I think you may be right. I don't think he has a cell phone. I think he's got two. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend. This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.